Maybe you can start the puja first. So Suyan will recommend to help light the candles and incense. Two person to light the candle. Christina. Yeah. The rest of us can stand. Get ready for puja. Today is the 8th of March. International Women's Day. So it's a Thursday. We are having our Thursday class. So we will do our puja now. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can sit down. Yeah, thank you. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Eh? We will chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu mitacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghena pujaye pujaniyang pang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusumya samtatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang. Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtues. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Buddhang Pucemi. Dhammang Pucemi. Sanghang Pucemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. So in front of you, there are four new books that we have recently printed. The first book is very good. This brown, light brown color. Importance of having mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's problem and suffering. So they put in bracket, it's a method of stress release via meditation. This was based on a direct transcript from the recorded Sunday Dhamma talk delivered by me about 5 years ago, on the 23rd of June 2013. At Subang Jaya Buddhist Association, on the above topic. This book is very good for people with suffering, especially those with depression, and having this suicidal thought and tendencies. So especially to cater for people who have this problem. So if you have time, I advise you to read through. You can also turn to page 5, where I can read to you the synopsis. Synopsis and notice of talk. So this was at that time written by me. Then I sent it to HJBA. Then they put it on their notice. So Dhamma talk on the importance of mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's problem and suffering. Bertio is giving a Dhamma talk at SJBA this Sunday, 23rd June 2013 at 10 a.m. on the topic importance of mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's suffering and problems. As this topic is very relevant to life, it's hoped that you all can find time to attend this rather important talk. Human sufferings are very real, and many people are afflicted by it. Even our youngsters are not exempted from it. Some of them can be very traumatic with suicidal tendency. Grief, sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, and anxiety leading to severe depression and sadness, etc., are very common nowadays. Some consult doctors, psychiatrists, medium, feng shui master, some seek God, religion, and friends for help. But are they really effective? Maybe some are, but most of them are only temporary solution, which may not be effective at all. Instead, can meditation together with understanding and medication help? If you are interested in such topic, then do come for the talk. Yeah, you can also bring your friend if you like. So hope to see you all on that Sunday. So this was based on the earlier synopsis. Then you all can read on your own. Introduction by Brother Chip, the president of SJGA. Then I touch on the topic, essence of the Buddha's teaching, 2.1. So this will systematically lead you to understand the Buddha's teaching. Then I explain the importance of mindfulness and heedfulness based on Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, and verse 183. They are all there. Then there is quite a detailed explanation of the Four Noble Truths too, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Then page 17 is importance of heedfulness. After you have trained your mind to develop this beautiful quality of mind, which the Buddha called heedfulness. So heedfulness got two parts, as we have gone through. First part is to train the mind to be ever mindful. For it to be ever mindful, you need to train the mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use that mind that has this ever mindful state of mind to meditate. You combine the two, it becomes heedfulness. If you use it for other purpose, then it's not called heedfulness. It's just mindfulness. Whatever skill or sports or activity that you do, if you want to be skillful, you must train and develop until you have mindfulness. Then everything is spontaneous, very graceful. So the world already knew the importance of mindfulness, but they don't realize what that thing is. When you are very, very graceful in all your movement and action, in whatever sport or activity that you are skillful at, you will reach a point where mindfulness operates on its own, where the thought doesn't interfere. Everything is done spontaneously. Because you are very, very experienced and very graceful. You have developed the training. So that alone is already very useful. It can help you tremendously in achieving what you want in daily life, to be skillful in whatever you want to develop and do. But if you apply it to develop wisdom, following the Buddhist teaching, then it becomes heedfulness, apamada. Otherwise, it's just mindfulness. So this part, I think you all have to make a note. Then, if you move on further, I touch on the first noble truth. Then later on, the second, third, and the fourth noble truth. Then finally, on page 21, 2.4. This one, you have to read through benefits of meditation. This part is very useful. I read to you. The benefits of meditation are very important. When you are faced with all these life-related problems, for normal people, their minds are very restless with a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness. And these are the negative energy field which can cause your immune system to go down. The reason being, fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation can cause your cell to mutate and become stressful because they are negative energy field. So this is the source of traumatic disease leading to death. When we are confronted with all this and we don't know how to recuperate or recover from it, then you can go and see a doctor. What they can do for you is give you some form of medication. Maybe physically they can have an impact on you, but most of the time, they will tell you it's more of a mental problem. they cannot help you in that sense. Then you go see psychiatrists. Psychiatrists also depend on which one you see. There are some that are quite good. They know how to monitor you and lead you out of it. But most of the time, it's not a permanent fix or solution because most of them may not have the Dhamma to explain to you clearly how you get yourself entangled. Most of them use drugs, tranquilizer and medication to help you sleep better and to stabilize your chemical imbalance to make you feel better. Like when you had this panic attack, anxiety, insomnia, leading to the depression and all those mental related issues, what do? They will give you some medication. Most of the time it's sedative. They call it tranquilizer that make you sleepy. Well, most people with depression cannot sleep. They have this insomnia problem and they become very miserable. That's why it leads to suicidal thought and suicidal tendency. And it's very traumatic because they want to sleep, but they cannot sleep. They want to be peaceful, but they cannot be peaceful because this panic attack can come anytime. There's a lot of fear. So this type of suffering, which is mental suffering, is so real. How are we going to deal with it? The Buddha said you have to develop heedfulness. To develop heedfulness, you must train your mundane, heedless thinking mind in awareness or mindfulness. Then from there, use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. When you start to meditate, the benefits of meditation will help you recover and recuperate from all this so-called negative energy field or mind state that can cause your immune system to go down and for you to succumb to all those diseases. When you are mindful, aware, and without thought, you are very serene, very peaceful, and very calm. So inner peace is the first mental benefit that can come about with this type of meditation. This inner peace, born of piety, will arise when you are mindful without thought. Piety is a meditative joy or rapture. So when you have inner peace, you will have this piety leading to sukha. Sukha is a mental blissfulness leading to the tranquility or stillness of mind or the state of paucity. Paucity is the silent mind, the mind that is without thought and just aware. The silent mind will make you very calm, very peaceful. So this inner peace will bring about a lot of good positive stillness and silent energy. And this positive mental energy is conserved because it is not lost in thought. It's not channeled into fear, worry, anxiety, and wrong thought or other emotions. During this moment, you can understand truth because there is clarity. And we use it to radiate love or metta or loving kindness. It can bring about the second benefit, which is inner well-being. Your mind and heart feel a lot better. You feel a lot more peaceful, calmer, and more positive, and more confident within. The inner peace, inner well-being, will lead to the third benefit, which is clarity of mind. Your mind has clarity because it is not preoccupied with fear, worry, anxiety, and is also not restless or confused. When you are very peaceful and calm, you have clarity, you can reflect and contemplate into whatever life's issue or problem that you have. Then with that clarity, you can develop some form of understanding to cope with it, to overcome it. That's how meditation can help you in a very big way. But the most important thing is to use this clarity of mind, which is the silent mind, to meditate and arise the wisdom. We are seeing things as they are. That's why the fourth benefit of meditation is wisdom. The wisdom that arises from proper meditation can free your mind. And when you meditate with heedfulness, awareness, and clarity of mind, you can know exactly how you get yourself entangled in life, how you actually via delusion grasp, cling, hold and react to arise the craving which conditions your suffering, how the evil roots come to be and make you evil, and how the evil roots condition your mental suffering. So all this you will start to understand. Then you will also start to understand the Noble Truth very clearly. The Buddha's word will become very clear to you. The realities of life and existence, the first eight conditions or realities that the Buddha spoke about, will also be very clear to you. Then all this that I had mentioned will also become very clear to you. If you don't have delusion, all this negativity of state or mind state will not arise. That's why the Buddha says suffering need not be when you have the wisdom, when you have the understanding. When you are able to develop inner peace, it means every time you have a problem, you can just go back to a quiet place to meditate and silence your mind, so that it will develop the inner peace and inner well-being. But this is only a temporary solution in the sense that when you are out of it and back in life, the problem can come back to you. That's why when you have these two states of inner peace and inner well-being, you will have this clarity of mind, and then you must use it to meditate, to develop the wisdom, because without wisdom, you cannot free yourself. But when wisdom comes to be, all the delusion, the conditions you do grasp, cling and hold and make you miserable, will slowly and surely fade away, leading to the happiness and joy deep within your mind. Because for the first time in your life, you understand there's a way out of suffering. This way is so beautiful, and the Buddha had taught it to us so clearly. That's why when you start to insight into reality, life and existence, the characteristics of nature, and when you start to understand the noble teachings of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, your mind opens up. It liberates the mind, because that clarity leading to the wisdom is so powerful. It cuts across all delusion and frees you completely. And for the first time in your life, life becomes meaningful. Life becomes beautiful. No more suffering, no more problem. Then after that, the associated benefits will come. You will have good sleep. A lot of them have insomnia problem. Well, like this. Then you can use this meditative mind to do good and other wholesome things, so that you can be a blessing to the world. And when you radiate more metta or loving kindness, cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path more and more, you will become more virtuous. You will have right view, which means you understand the secret of life. You understand the spiritual laws that governs life and existence. You are no longer deluded. Then it will condition you to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and you will become such a beautiful living beings. Then the way you live your life is based on right living and right livelihood. You will constantly cultivate the four right effort to purify your thought and to make yourself more and more virtuous with less and less negativity. And finally, you develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness and the samadhi to realize the enlightenment. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. When you have them, it can actually help you in a very big way. So once your mind is trained, peaceful, with inner peace leading to inner well-being, clarity and wisdom, you will not have any more fear, worry, anxiety, and any other negativity of mind state. Your mind will not have any more attachment and craving. It's a free mind. That's how this mind can sleep very well. There is very good sleep, and to have good sleep is not easy. Do you know that? For those who have insomnia, they will know. For some, after taking the sleeping pill or tranquilizer that the psychiatrist or doctors has given them, they will have good sleep and they feel very good. But most of this sedative medication that they give you, after you wake up, you are still groggy. But at least it prevents your mental activity from causing you insomnia. So it's like knock you out to make you unconscious, just like when you take antibiotic, is to knock you off so that your internal system will have a chance to recuperate, so that this nature can actually bring about recovery or healing. The reason being, when you are thinking, your negative thought prevents your nature from working on the necessary requisite condition to recuperate. That's why when you have good and deep sleep, it's like you feel recharged the next day. Sometimes you know how to meditate when you are very tired. You just silence your mind to meditate for even 5, 10 or 20 minutes. You will recover very well and you will feel good because of the inner peace, inner calmness and inner well-being that arise can heal and recuperate the cells. All those cells that have been stressed out and tired, they are like recharged. The positive energy make them feel good and your immune system recover. So good sleep is one of them. Then with the clarity of mind and ability to see things clearly, you will be able to study better or do your work more efficiently, which means whatever things that you attempt to do, like career, research or whatever, you will, and you can do them more efficiently. You need to have this type of mind for you to be a blessing to all. When you have the meditation, the wisdom and the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, you are very beautiful. You can be a blessing not only to you, but to all. That is to your loved one, your friend, your colleague, or anybody who have relationship with you. Also to society, to the community, and even to the environment and the planetary consciousness. Because every thought you arise is so beautiful. This is the last benefit, blessing to all. So all these are the important benefits of meditation that can arise the moment you develop heedfulness. And heedfulness comes from mindfulness. And to be mindful, you need to understand two things which the Buddha actually explained very clearly under his teaching. He said, human beings are not peaceful, not mindful, and not able to develop the meditative or inner peace and the inner calmness to meditate is because they have a lot of mental hindrances. He called them the 5 mental hindrances of mind, or pancha nivaranas. These 5 mental hindrances are very real. He said the first 2 are your sensual desire and your ill will. These 2 are a pair, and it's also related to the evil roots of greed and hatred. Every time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactily feel and think, without wisdom and the equanimity of mind and the samadhi, you will react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, etc. And your reaction is always either positive or negative. If you like the sensual experience, then you have positive craving, which is sensual desire. The moment you develop this, your mind is distracted. You are preoccupied with that sense experience. There is no more clarity and you cannot meditate anymore because this mind that is preoccupied with sensual experience is lost in thought, hence heedless. Then when you react negatively, you arise fear, worry, anxiety, sadness and dislike. That's why you have a lot of likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these are the duality of life. These are the first 2 mental hindrances of mind which hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why there is no more inner peace, inner calmness leading to the inner well-being. So this aspect is very important. The third hindrance is sleepiness, lethargic mind, sloth and torpor. The Buddha say if you don't understand the importance of meditation, of training this mind to be mindful, to be heedful, and you don't see the importance of it because you cannot understand life, then you will feel sleepy. It's just like when you attend a class you don't like. You don't know what's going on and you will feel sleepy. That sleepiness is a mental hindrance. When you are sleepy, you are not aware. The mind doesn't have clarity. That's why you cannot be peaceful and you cannot meditate. The Buddha said the 4th hindrance, which is restlessness of mind, is the worst. which means your mind become very agitated and restless. Why did it happen? Why are you not happy and peaceful? It's because you have problems, like health problem, financial problem, career problem, relationship problem, mental problem, old age and sickness problem, the fear of death, children's problem, in-law problem, neighbor's problem, etc. So all this problem leads to fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation. That's why your mind becomes restless and it is not peaceful because of your worries, fear, and anxiety. Nowadays, a lot of parents worry about their children, their career, their relationship, and their children's future. Then you also have so many things to worry about, your health problem, your financial problem, your business, your relationship with people, etc. There are so many things that can make you worry, full of anxiety and fear. So when this thing comes, your mind is not peaceful, restless and agitated, and you will think a lot. The more you think, the more fear arises, because it projects the thought. What happened if? These words are not a reality yet, but you projected those thoughts and developed the fear unnecessarily. That's how you become anxious. When your children don't come back in time, they are late, especially so if you have daughters, you may worry. Then sometimes spouse or their husband went out 12 o'clock midnight, still not back yet. You're still wide awake, waiting and waiting. Call the handphone, but no reply, because it was switched off. Then you worry more. When he comes back, you get angry because all sorts of thoughts went through your mind. You think that fellow is trying to do something funny outside. You confronted him via asking, why don't you on your handphone? So all this misunderstanding can lead to further suffering in life when there is a lack of trust, when there is no sincerity in the relationship, when there is no understanding of each other, then suffering becomes more and more real. Then when you take things for granted, especially between spouse, when you don't know how to arise the appropriate right speech to make them feel good and happy, when you do not appreciate their contribution to the family unit, then problem and misunderstanding will arise. That's why you must appreciate life. Do appreciate what they have done for you, their love, their care, and their sacrifices. Even as children, you should appreciate what your parents have done for you. And as parents, we should also appreciate how our children actually think of us, help us in whatever way, especially between spouse. If you take things for granted, there is no more appreciation and love, then it develops hatred and misunderstanding. You can see this very clearly because they always argue, the ego will take over. And every time they argue, there is no right speech anymore. Gentle, pleasant and kind speeches are all gone and no more. Only angry and egoic speeches comes to be. So life is like that. When you don't have wisdom, when you don't have understanding, the mind gets agitated because of the wrong thought. That's why cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is about abandoning wrong thought and cultivating right thought. Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, misery, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, etc. These are all wrong thought. So very easy to understand, isn't it? Whenever you are not happy and peaceful, whatever you think are the wrong thought, then what are right thought? If you have right thought, it will condition you to have right speech, right action, and right livelihood following Noble Eightfold Path. Then life becomes beautiful. So what are right thought? The easiest answer is one thought that does not have the evil root. Anything that is not wrong thought is right thought, isn't it? But you do not know how to put it into practice. So you actually have to reflect and contemplate on what constitutes right thought. In the text, it's mentioned that the four Brahma Vihara are the four right thoughts. When you have that as a base, it becomes right thought. But you must understand what these are. The first Brahma Vihara state is metta. When you have metta, and you have right thought. Do you know what metta is? True metta is universal love. When you have metta, you cannot get angry. You can never get jealous. And there is no more negativity. There is only love. So when you arise thoughts based on love, there is no anger, envy, and jealousy. They are gone because you really love. And with this love, you can only radiate well-being and happiness to all. And right thought that have love should be the basis of good relationship. When I love you, I respect you, I appreciate what you have done. I care for you, and I will talk to you very nicely. I'm no longer angry with you. I accept you for what you are. Then I will do my very best to bring about good relationship via arising the kind, gentle, and pleasant speeches that can bring about happiness, joy, harmony, and understanding to our life and relationship. Then the family unit becomes beautiful. You can go back and try it out. For the first time, you can go back and tell your wife. I don't know what you call her, honey or what. Honey, thank you so much for what you have done and sacrificed for us. She will be very surprised because you never do that. Why all of a sudden you are like that? Then she may think initially, my husband must be up to something. Otherwise, he won't be so courteous and nice to me. Yeah? But if you express it sincerely, we are telling her the truth. Actually, I have recently reflected, and I really appreciate your great contribution and sacrifice for our family, for us all. You have helped us look after the household, the marketing, the cooking, the washing, etc. And we know these are not easy things to do. I hire a maid also, not so reliable. I have to pay for the maid. I have to take the trouble to go to the maid agency to sort all these things out. Contact maid agency, renew her contract, pay her levy and agency fee, and all other related things. Besides, there are so many problems related to maid. But you are my wife. I don't have to pay. And yet you willingly do all this for us, with love, true love and sacrifice. I really appreciate and thank you so much. I truly rejoice. When you do that, your wife will be very happy and she will work for you more. There is also a lot of joy when she does those work because she is being appreciated. But if you take for granted and ignore her contribution, do you know what your wife will think? This guy thinks I'm a maid. In Hokkien is asampo. Every day ask me to do all these things but never appreciate what I have done. So out of that anger and unhappiness, do you know what will happen? The cooking also will become affected, not good. The washing also will be affected, also not good. Then when he comments, she will tell him all. You're so good, you wash lah, you cook lah. Then she may say, I'm going to go on strike. You can take care of the children and the household. Yeah. Then you just argue. But when you appreciate what they have done with a kind and appropriate right speech, with the kind and appropriate right speeches, they feel so good and happy. Then everything they do for you, you say thank you so much. You don't just take things for granted and get angry. Most spouse, they are not sensitive to feel for their spouse. I know lah. Don't repeat this thing and don't every time nag at me. If you do this, then how to communicate? Where are the kind, gentle, and understanding right speeches? The wife also unhappy, whole day, especially housewife, sacrifice doing all these things for you. And when you come back, not a word of appreciation. Someone receives scolding from you. What type of husband is that? Their thought will think negatively. And when you also think this way, do you think your wife will be happy? And do you know why the husband is like that? Because he himself has enough problem in the office. That's why when he comes home, he's already not happy. He then acted out of his frustration. But people without the Dhamma are just behaving this way. They cannot solve. You cannot solve your problem because you don't have the clarity of mind. You don't feel for your loved one. you don't know how to go through life. But when you feel for them, you appreciate what they have done and contributed, then you arise your right thought leading to the right speech and right action. Then you will tell your wife, honey, you have done well. I think tonight you deserve a good meal. Let's go for dinner. Where do you want to go? For the first time you ask that, I can tell you she will be very happy. There's a lot of joy too, but it doesn't mean it's only for the wife. The wife can also do the opposite for the husband. You can tell him the opposite. I understand how much you have sacrificed for the family. You work so hard, sometimes at the expense of your own freedom, your own holiday. But you're sure. But you must make sure that was what they do. Eh? Otherwise, it's not sincere. You have to bring about what we call good relationship through understanding them and supporting them. That's why they always have this good saying, for every man's success, there's a woman behind. But sometimes the woman may not be the wife. But most of the time it's the wife that is responsible. But the funny thing about men is, without wisdom, when they have too much money, that is the time the wife is worried. The rest I think you read on. It's very helpful. It can help you improve your life, your relationship with your loved ones and other things. There's a lot more you have to read to yourself. And when you meditate and cultivate, you will understand the deep meaning behind. So this is the part I want you to pay attention to. Don't keep this in the bookshelf and forget about it. Because these are very useful books. Money cannot buy. And Kalyanamita has actually helped to do the transcript, editing, spelling check and all those things. And they also donated this book using Kalyanamita Fund for free distribution. So don't disappoint them. It's for your own benefit. You got nothing to lose. You just have to leave your finger to read through. Then the other three books are different books, although look the same. They are all Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, but they have lesson 4, lesson 9, lesson 54. They are all different. At the moment, we are at lesson 69. So we are going to transcribe all the book, but we are not going to print all. We just print those who are important, necessary. The rest, I will compile them into e-book. Because I was told recently, you can have e-book and you can read through very easily. The e-book are very versatile. And I just got it from Jin Hao. He showed it to me. If you are lazy to read, the e-book can read for you. Pang no, Pang can confirm that. I also heard it. You just turn on to the e-book, then you just highlight, then it starts to read to you. Then you can just lie down and listen. If you are so lazy, as to read yourself. But sometimes you have to be careful. This e-book, if they are not familiar with your style or speech, he will read the wrong thing for you. That's why it's better to read the transcript. But so far, the e-book reading was okay. I think they can understand my English. Not so bad. So you have to find out yourself, adjust yourself. So that's about all for the new book. So now maybe we meditate for a while. I will give you, you want 20 minutes or 30 minutes? 30 minutes. 30 minutes, okay. So we still got 1 hour after that. 30 minutes of meditation. So we can off the light. Then for those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. I think everybody has been here before. So if you are not sure about the procedure, go back and read the transcript. If you still got doubt and question, you can ask during the Q&A session. Okay. But also still want to meditate, you can continue for the seven up. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the trained mind state that you need to carry out to the daily life. Then develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunanto sakamokkadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pachatang veditabu vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango yadidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahoneyo pahoneyo dakkeneyo anjalikaraneyo anuttarang punyakhetang lokasate sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Japa. Buddhang Pujemi. Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just maintain some form of attention. Okay, we have finished the first session, the meditation, which was about half an hour just now. So now we can continue with our meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation and the teaching. And also, most important is how to apply all this teaching to help you understand life, overcome all of your so-called life problems or situation. Anybody want to report meditation or ask question, you just raise your hand. We'll pass you the mic. Anybody? Yeah, pass the mic over. Who was it? Anybody? Nobody. You all should report your meditation, otherwise you won't learn. You just have to report whatever you do with your meditation, how you experience it, that's all. I don't need you to tell me in your own words how the meditation go on. No, exactly how it happened to you. What did you do? Then what happened? Then if you are not sure, you can ask. Then I can guide you along. Anybody? Kaulun, just now, maybe start with Kaulun. Next time, if your leg got problem, you can sit on the couch. You don't have to cross your leg like that. Understand? Because you are not used to it, because you don't know how to relax, so it will develop pain. Then you change posture. Then I saw you like struggling with the posture. Then later on, you cross back, you feel better. Yeah, the crossing is to stabilize your sitting, but you don't have to sit like that, because if it's hurting you, you can sit on the couch like that, just with your backbone straight, relax, silent, and just meditate. What you need is a stable posture. That's why I lie down. Lying down is the best. Yeah, your leg is free. You don't have to cross it. When you cross it, your chi cannot flow. So it will give you some problem. And that is also the reason why I say you come here not to torture yourself unnecessarily. Because if it's really painful and you cannot bear it because you are not used to it and you don't know how to relax, so you should try to relax. Otherwise, if it's too painful, don't force yourself through. Unless you really want to find out what this thing is. Then endure for a while, it's okay. But if it's reached a point where it's difficult to endure or bear, then you can change posture. But when you change posture, do it mindfully, with your mind fully aware of all the movement. That will create continuity for your mind to stabilize as it develops the silence within. Otherwise, when the mind is not peaceful, there will be no silence, because the thought will come in. Then you will lose the ability to be peaceful, to be in a state of inner peace, inner calmness, to do the meditation. Okay, now you just report exactly how you do it. How did you start? Press to the side, slide it. Yes. Once the light is on, then it's on. Yeah. One more position. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. It's clear now.
My name is Kok Lun.
Yeah.
So when I started off just now, it was a bit, a little bit same like the first time where I was drifting.
Yeah.
So I was drifting towards. To sleep.
Sleeping.
And then I tell my, I come back. And there came to a point that
Yeah.
All I was hearing was the fan.
Oh, good.
And the fan was...
Yeah, means you are quite silent there. Eh?
This time a bit different, because last time,
yeah,
there were things, were voices in my head.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
time
yeah.
It's just the fan.
Ah, the fan.
And then I was
so what do you do?
I can hear the motto, the
yeah,
band,
yeah,
the
yeah, everything.
Ring,
So what do you do? You should just be
just
aware.
Ah,
just be aware of it.
Oh.
Aware of it is not listening to it. Listening to it means the perception is there already, but it's also okay, not so bad. But what you have done is good. What you should do is just allow it to be. Then just let it run through. Run through your mind. Your mind is just aware, understand? That is mindfulness. Means you don't need to know anything. You just silence that mind. Then if you want to be in a state of perception, means you want to know what that thing is, then the memory come in. Yeah? But like you say, the fan, the vibration, the motor, everything, you can perceive it. Yeah? But you are just with it. So later on, as you are with it, it will become very different. You will go into another state of silence where the word also no more. The word of the motto, everything also no more. It's just that phenomenon. That thing. No word one. So that one is what your silent mind is. Your silent mind, which is the true mind, will experience things as they are. And in the daily life when you see, it will see things as they are without the word. So now is you close your eye, is your hearing. And so the hearing, the consciousness. That's why initially you are able to receive that silence because the thought, like you say, different from last time. Those thinking restlessness no more. So it's just the clear awareness or perception of the fan. But the word, the motto and all those things still there. It's okay because that is your perception because you listen to it. When you listen without the word, it's another thing. When you listen attentively without the words, that is just the pure hearing consciousness. It's just conscious. But if you are attending a lecture or you listen to my Dhamma sharing, you have to listen with attentiveness. Attentiveness means you can take in the words. Anasana. You can still know what I'm saying. So that one is attentiveness. Attentiveness and pure awareness is different. But when you live life, you have to have this attentiveness. Means you have to be attentive. Means hear, understand, finish. Don't go and think, proliferate and all those things. Don't let it draw you in. Then you become lost in thought. Yeah. Then the thinking comes, you get distracted. Then you become tired and all those things. Then you are not attentive. But you are when you are attentively listening, you can absorb a lot of things. You can understand a lot of things. Yeah. So that one is mindfulness with attentiveness. Means clear comprehension. Sati sampajana. You clearly comprehend what you are doing, what you are observing, what you are listening to, and all those things. So when you are in a state of meditation, especially here in consciousness, let it be, just aware. Then later on, the word all missing. Then it's just your awareness and that phenomenon move as one. Then you become very quiet very fast. Then your silent mind will develop, your meditation will develop, which is very good.
Yes, it felt very quiet. The sound of the fan was more like a cyclical vibration.
Correct.
To the point, and there's one point I tripped. That means
I know. You blank out.
Then I come back.
It's okay.
Then I change my
Body. When you blank out means it's a sudden shift of consciousness to that state. Because of that you change. It's not because of pain or what.
I don't feel pain.
You don't feel pain. Then it's not so bad. So next time you don't feel pain, no need to change, just relax into it. Understand or not? You see, when the sleepiness comes, stay with it. Don't develop any aversion or dislike for it. Yeah? You remember what I told you? The five mental hindrances? They are mental hindrances that... Oh, they didn't refill the ink. But mostly didn't. Refill the ink. Never mind. This five mental hindrance, or he refused the black one, I think. Yeah? Mental hindrance, you remember? They will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So this five mental hindrance, the first one is sensual desire, and the second one is ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Whenever you arise in the meditation, if you dislike the sleepiness, the mental hindrance is there. Understand? Then it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot become calm again. Yeah. Then if you try to do something else, yeah, it will become worse. But if you stay with it means stay with it. Yeah? Means the mental hindrance. The mental hindrance. Yeah. If you stay with it, then a different thing can happen. Because when you stay with it, when you do not arise the like and dislike, means you don't label it as sleepiness, yeah, something that you don't like, then this mental hindrance doesn't come in. Then what happens is your silent mind, which is sati, mindfulness, they will come back to you. Then you become quiet again. Yeah. Always remember, the moment you allow sensual desire and ill will to come back, like and dislike, because human beings got preference. If they meditate, they are not calm, not peaceful, not quiet, they don't like. And that is the subtle mental hindrance that will arise. Then you cannot meditate already. Then you force yourself to have the peace, it's worse. More thinking will arise. Yeah. But if you stay with it, or the other word is be with it. Then you will find out something else will happen. You don't be afraid of it. You don't dislike it. You're just mindful of it. Stay with it. No matter how sleepy or so, you just go in with the awareness. Yeah, you just go in. You will come to experience something very, very beautiful. Yeah. Then the shift of consciousness will happen. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you feel so strange. Like, the whole of this sleepiness of mind completely disappear. Completely disappear. Then sometimes there is a flash of light, suddenly brightness. It will come. Then you become alert again, aware again. That is actually the shift of consciousness. When it shifts, your consciousness becomes different because there is no mental hindrance. Then it will arise the spiritual faculty of virya. That virya will overcome sleepiness. It's a spiritual zeal, a tenacity. Then after that, within that virya, there is this clear awareness, very, very different. Then this awareness can be aware of many things. It can meditate, it can do a lot of things. That's why when mental hindrance arise, always remember not to fight it, not to suppress it, not to control it. Just be with it. The moment you don't arise any mental hindrance, then the spiritual faculty will come in. Because there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And always remember, the mind is originally peaceful, aware, without thought. But it is because of your wrong view, your self-delusion, your lack of training, the heedless mind, the thinking mind, starts to behave in a habitual manner. So that's how people become heedless. Because they don't have the spiritual faculty, then the mental hindrance take over. And because of the mental hindrance, it hinders their mind from becoming peaceful and quiet. So that part, make a note. Yeah, make a note. In fact, this part, a lot of meditators don't understand. Even the so-called Buddhists. Yeah, they also don't understand all this. They go and instead create more hindrance. Last time there is a type of meditation, a type of old tradition. They teach you, if you are sleepy, go and note sleepy, sleepy, sleepy. Worse, you create more mental verbalization. Then they didn't teach you how to deal with it. So you have an aversion towards it. Then sometimes they say, go and wash your face. Yeah. I mean, this is something that people would do. You're sleepy, go and wash your face. This is what our school, the teacher would tell you. If he see you fall asleep in the class, you better go to the washroom and wash your face and come back. Then pay attention. But for those who understand, if it's the meditative sleepiness or sloth and torpor coming in, setting in, if you don't accept and if you accept it and you don't create the duality of like and dislike over what happened, the mental hindrance ceases to have power over you. Then your mind enters sati again. Because when you are aware and be with it, this sati will take over. This silent mind, which is mindfulness, will take over. That's how the shift of consciousness can take place. Then all of a sudden the mind like brighten up. Yeah. Then you will understand all this on your own. And through your own training, through your own meditative experience, you will start to develop all this understanding on your own. Then you will see very clearly the teaching, why the Buddha say they are mental hindrance, where they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Okay? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
And every time, there was a couple of times that I was drifting to sleep, then there was some kind of like,
yeah,
like bright light.
Bright light, huh?
And then that's when I go back to...
Yeah, clarity again. Yeah?
And it was also then I changed some my position. I put my hand on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Put the hand on the floor is very good. You just feel it. Because the sensation will keep your mind there. Understand? Not? Then you will not think. Then there is something for it to do. The other way is go back to the mind sweeping method. Read it, metta. Understand? Not? Just feel, relax. Feel, relax. Sweep it all the way down. From the forehead, eye muscle, everything. Then the other way is relax, silent, don't do anything. Then whichever part within your body that is prominent to you, like you stay at your heart area, you can, because if you can hear the rotating of the fan, then later on you will hear the clock ticking. This clock, when you meditate, you can hear the ticking. If you are mindful, silent, it's actually quite loud. So all this, you will start to have the sensitivity of mind to have this ability. So the ticking of the clock will be the first. Then after that, you can hear this. You will hear your heartbeat. You don't need stethoscope. You will hear the vibration wherever you locate your mind. Means your mind enters sati. That mind can meditate. So continue to relax, silent. No need to do anything. Stay at the heart area. Then when you are really quiet, you're not only from the fan. So the fan is the loudest. That fan. Then even those two fans at the back, they are not so loud. But when you are silent, you can also hear them. But the ticking of the clock is the first. Is the more subtle one. So this one is very clear, very loud. You are silent, it's very loud. Then when you can hear this one, means your mind is in sati already. Then later on, you will hear your own heartbeat. You will hear your own vibration within. Then wherever you locate this mind, it's very sensitive, it can feel. That's why after that, when you come out of the meditation in the midst of life, this mind becomes very sensitive. Then the slightest movement to get angry or to have fear or to have this what they call restlessness or whatever, you become so sensitive, you feel it straight away. That's what mindfulness is all about. Then you realize life is not the way people used to live it, because that is the heedless living, because they are not sensitive. Despite having all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and even anger, phobia, and all that, they are still not sensitive, you know. They still think it's normal, you know, because most human beings have them. But if you are a meditator, a cultivator, when you have this sensitivity of mind, that mindfulness, the slightest movement, the slightest lack of peace and happiness, you will know. Then you will know you are already heedless. The mental hindrance are there. Then you will straight away revert back to the meditative state, because you tell yourself, my life, I must choose to be happy, I must choose to be peaceful. So the moment you make that decision, then you train your mind, then you will be peaceful, you will be silent, you will be aware. Yeah? These are heedful state of mind, which are so different compared to the agitated, heedless way of living life. Yeah. So you will start to see the great difference between these two mind states. The trained mind and the untrained mind, they are world apart. Then you will start to not only more sensitive, you will be more mindful to see how your mind react to sense experience, how it stir, how it condition you to react and become unhappy. And sometimes become like carried away and all those things. Then the lack of inner awareness or mindfulness will lead to heedlessness and all those things. You will start to understand them. Then the essential Dhamma, you will start to see what the Buddha actually meant by the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. You will see them in yourself. Your own selfishness, your own greediness, your own possessiveness, your own what they call violence, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, all this movement, you start to feel them, your lack of peace. Then of course those who had a lot of suffering, they will know what sorrow, lamentation is all about. The anger, the hatred, the anxiety, especially anxiety, then the fear, the worry. Fear, worry, anxiety, they will come together and make your immune system go down. Because these are very, very negative energy fields. This energy field will cause your cells to mutate and brings about the lowering of your immune system. That's why you will release a type of hormone which is very negative, very negative. And your immune system will be affected. These are like toxins inside you. So that especially fear, worry, anxiety, the panic attack and all those things, that type of fear energy is very detrimental to your health. So mindfulness is to be sensitive of all these things so that you can take care of your life, so that you understand what is going on, so that you won't allow yourself to be afflicted this way. This is where mindfulness come in. And when you are mindful, leading to heedfulness, you become beautiful. You are incapable of negativity. You can only progress along the path of Dhamma. You cannot fall back, because that sensitivity of mind make you very different. You are now so heedful. You are never heedless anymore. And the heedful, the Buddha said, never die. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. As I, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Dhammapada verse 21. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So always remember this verse, so that you determine to be heedful. To be heedful is to be silent first. The moment you are silent, you are aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. When you are ever mindful, that mind can meditate. Use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then it becomes heedfulness. And when you are heedful, you are all the time training your mind to develop more and more understanding, to straighten your view, to develop wisdom, to straighten your view and to liberate your mind. So that you got less and less of this reaction of mind, stirring of mind. Then you create less and less of the mental hindrance, less and less of the duality of mind state, then your mind, without all this mental hindrance, the spiritual faculty will take over. Then the enlightenment factor will arise. That's how you progress in your meditation. Then with the spiritual faculty, your mind is always in the meditative state. It cannot be otherwise. Meditative state means it is always with the true mind, aware, relaxed, silent, with clarity, no thought, nothing. And it can see things as they are, it can insight into phenomena, it can awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, non-self, empty nature. Then you understand clearly who you are, what you are, the form and mind, every living being, not only human being. Then you become very sensitive. You're not only sensitive of your own feeling, your own emotion, your own mental activity, thinking and all those things. You are also sensitive towards fellow living beings, human beings. You can feel them. They can also, likewise, feel you when they are not crowded, lost in thought or heedless. That's like the animals. Eh? You know why animals, like dog, they can feel you without you knowing it. If you have fear, the dog will know. They will chase after you. They will attack you. Because they can sense your fear. You know why they have this sensitivity? Because they don't think so much like you. They are not so, they are not like human beings, with so much cunningness, deceitfulness, unhappiness. The dog is very simple. You treat them nicely, you feed them, they will be nice to you. They wag their tail. Then they will be very, very faithful to you. Yeah. But human being different, no? They are very cunning, deceitful. You're nice to them, behind their back, what they think, you don't know. They are not like dogs. They got this ulterior motive. And sometimes because of their karmic negativity from the past, they have this tendency to cheat people, to deceive people, to do things behind people's back. That's why human being is the most dangerous living being. And a lot of cultivators, when they come to know, especially those who has not break through the cultivation. I remember even last time our late chief reverend, K. Sri Dhammananda, he used to say this word. He said, this mind, you cannot trust it. Means he cannot even trust his own mind. You understand what he means? Huh? Because this fellow, subject to condition, can simply do things. You cannot really have full control over it unless you have developed the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. You have insight into phenomena and you have awakened. And then that wisdom will take care of this mind, which is most of the time heedless. Yeah. Because before it becomes awakened or enlightened, human being has a lot of delusion. And this delusion is the one that make this mind unpredictable. That's why this mind is capable of a lot of funny things. It's all under the influence of the conditioned world. Because even when you inject drug into the human form, the consciousness will be affected. It can become miserable. Then a lot of things can change the physical entity. Then the consciousness being trapped inside will experience all those things. That's why if you overdose whatever drugs or medication, the consciousness will be affected and the human form will be affected. So sometimes if they got allergy or what, you administer the wrong medication, it can give rise to complications. So all this, as you meditate, as you develop the clear understanding, you will be able to understand them. Okay, good. Anything else, Colin? Nothing else, we all should thank Colin for the good sharing, sadhu, and the reporting. You got any question regarding the meditation all the teaching? So far, don't have, huh? Okay, good. You go back and read up more. Huh? Then, if you got any question, put it in a note like you write on your notebook, or you use a highlighter to highlight. Huh? Then, write down the question that you don't quite understand. Then you bring them up, I can explain to you, and you learn faster in this way. Okay, anybody else? Yes. What's your name? Jimmy, yeah? Yeah. Push it. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, it's all right. Working already, yes.
Hi all. I'm the second time I'm doing the meditation. It's so different with last time.
Oh, good.
I don't know why.
You just describe it. I can explain to you.
And few things that you mentioned about the mental hindrance
coming. Yeah, they come in.
I think last week I meditate. Then it's quite silent and quite blank.
Yes.
Yeah, but this time is like, because today I'm not, yesterday night not sleep very well.
You don't have a good sleep. Not enough rest.
Very tired and sleepy. Yeah, and just now I just wondering whether I want to come here.
Okay.
Then when I come here, I decide to come here.
Yeah.
And just now, when I do my meditation, along the way, a lot of the things you mentioned, the worry, the fear,
the anxiety,
and I don't know why a lot of these images
appear.
Like such as the first images appear is a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I don't know why a lot of friends keep on appear. Then
are these friends?
Yeah,
you commonly see them.
Yeah, my colleagues.
Your colleagues. Okay.
Yeah. The face of them.
Yes, they keep on appearing. I don't know why. After I explain the
And the second image appears like, what's my worry right now?
Yes.
Yeah. In my job.
Yeah. Your career and all those
things. These things. Then come up.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, it's like, I'm very tired, but, like, blank or anything sudden, suddenly.
Yeah,
suddenly.
I know. Then you go into that blank state. The mind blank out for a while.
Then I thought I'm going to sleep. I just pull myself up.
Next time no need to pull, just let it go down. You snore also, never mind. Because you are tired.
So that's called sleep already?
Sloth and topper.
Is that called stay with it or be with it or what?
I explained to you. Very good. Luckily you report it. I explained to you. You listen. So these five mental hindrances, the first two, these five mental hindrances, the first two you know, first is sensual desire. Then the second one is ill will, dislike. Ill will or dislike. Then third one is what you are facing. Sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness. So this sloth and torpor is called lethargic mind or sleepiness of mind. Lethargic. Lethargic mind. Or sleepiness. So when this thing happens, you have to find out, is it due to tired body, like you say you got not enough sleep? If it's due to tired body, if it's due to body tired, then you need to rest, you just rest. Then, go and rest. Go and rest means you just rest your mind, silent everything, no need to know. If you go into the sleep, let it go into the sleep. But if you can maintain mindfulness, then it becomes stay with it. Means you maintain awareness. The body wants to sleep, but your mind is aware that it is in the state of sloth and torpor, wanting to go to sleep. Stay with it, or be with it, and you can be aware of that sleepiness. Then when your awareness is sharp, stable, then the shift of consciousness will happen. Then you become alert again. Yeah. But if, let's say, you don't have that stability of mindfulness, then if you feel very good resting that mind, like you go into proper good sleep, just let it sleep. Because that will recharge your body. Because when your thought shut off, you know what happened or not? Your system, our physical body and mind, the system will heal itself. Because when your mind shut off, you don't think. When you don't think means, I rub it off already. When you don't think means your mind doesn't arise the thought. No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sadness, no sorrow, no lamentation. That's why you are peaceful. And when you are peaceful, the mind doesn't arise, the nature take over. And the nature is from your karmic force, your life force. Your life force will heal you. It's just like when you are deep, you're having good sleep or deep sleep at night. Then this life force will actually help you to recuperate. That's why when you wake up, you feel fresh. You have a deep, good sleep. But if you don't have a good sleep, you wake up, you are not fresh one. Especially if you are drunk. Then you become groggy the next day when you wake up. Because why? When you are drunk, your consciousness is havoc. All sorts of things come out. Without you knowing it, you are completely heedless. Means without any sense of clarity of mind to know what is going on. Means under the influence of alcohol, or they call drugs, it will make you like heedless. Simply say things, simply think, and the thought keep on arising, and the form keep on saying things that you yourself doesn't know what you are saying. Sometimes you talk rubbish. Sometimes a lot of things that you have been keeping inside suddenly throw out. Yeah. Under normal sober case, you will never say. But when you are drunk, you simply say things. Because your consciousness is no longer under your conscious mind's control. The unconscious has set in. Yeah. And the subconscious is releasing all those things. So what you can do is, if you know body tired, then go and rest. Then if you want to meditate, you silence your mind and stay with that sleepiness. Yeah. Later on, when you become very skillful, your body can sleep, but your awareness can go inside. Then you can hear your own snoring. Yeah. You can also see your own subconscious release, how it creates dream state. Yeah. It can be fully aware. Then sometimes you are so mindful, the whole night, whatever happened, until the next morning when you wake up, the same thought come out, like you didn't sleep. You are very fresh. You no need to wash your face also. And you are like a normal person who went through the sleep, hear all the snoring, everything, and all whatever your subconscious release and unconscious release and all those things, you can be with that thing. That is 24-hour meditative state. Yeah. But initially, you can't. Not lightly, unless your past is very special. So all these are possible. Then the other thing that I need to explain to you is the picture that you saw, your colleague and all those things. Yeah. Then your worry, your phobia. You look here. That's why I didn't rub this on. Oh, sorry, rub off already, memory. Oh, this one is about security and insecurity. Okay, I bring back this box. Because memories. What is memory? Yeah? Accumulation of what? Experiences. translation of experiences. Huh? Good and bad. And bad. So this is what you accumulate into your brain. This one easy to understand, isn't it? Easy to understand, huh? Yeah? Whatever you experience in life, good or bad, you accumulate them. Like your fear, your anxiety, your problem. Yeah, you think about it, understand, huh? Then without you knowing it, you accumulate it. It sticks into your brain. And behind it is always fear, that phobia, that fear. And because of that, this memory carries with it all the accumulated experiences, good and bad. So this good and bad could be your fear, your phobia. Fear, phobia, worry. Anxiety. Sorrow, lamentation, etc. Etc. Then you know what is thought or not. How did you think? Thoughts are? What are thoughts? How did the thought arise? Huh? Thought are? Response to? To memory. Without memory, there is no thought. So, throughout the day, human beings are creating thought. That's why they become heedless. They think a lot. Yeah. So, for your case, you are good because you actually have this ability to see your thought. That's why they are in the form of images, your friend and all those things. Yeah. This one is your mental thought. Your images, actually they are just images here. Yeah. When you are mindful and aware, you can see. So what you saw are these things that happen in your memory. Thought are response to memory. It means whatever you accumulate or you hold on to, you give importance to. You understand? Yeah. That's why your colleague are the people whom you always think of. Understand? You throughout the day when you are in your office or whatever, yeah, you interact with them. Then you must have think of them. That's why all these faces will come to you. Then the other one is your worry, like your job security. That one not only you. I think you can ask Eric. A lot of people has. Yeah. Even all those graduates, yeah, when they are young, they have. And sometimes they even dream that they haven't passed their final exam. You have such dream, or not? There is this fear inside your dream. Actually, you graduate already. Later on, many years after you graduate, this dream still come. Like you haven't finished your exam, especially the paper you got problem with one, or the lecturer you got problem with one. That thing will come and haunt you. But these are accumulated phobia. We call it phobia. Your fear. Phobia. Got age or not? Don't have age, isn't it? Don't have age, isn't it? Don't have age, I think phobia don't have age, Anyway, you check out the spelling. So these phobias are your fear. Yeah. Sometimes it can be very intense. Where you give so much importance to it. Like your fear of death, fear of losing your job, fear of your loved one leaving you or misunderstand you. Then fear of like your business getting into trouble and all those things. If you are a career, if you are a sole proprietor of a maybe a business or whatever. Yeah? It can be a restaurant or an accounting firm or whatever firm that you do. So all these they are accumulated through memories in your brain. And when you are not mindful, when you don't have the Dhamma, this one has power over you. Well, this one keep on arising thought. And without the wisdom, this thought will become wrong thought. This thought will become wrong thought. Without wisdom, these thoughts will become wrong thought. And do you know what are wrong thoughts or not? Wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, your anxiety, your worry, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your greediness, your emotional negativity. All these are wrong thoughts. Thoughts that make you miserable, unhappy, afflicted. These are all wrong thoughts. So this type of thoughts are very detrimental to your health, very detrimental to your mind state. You become miserable. That's why the teaching is about cultivating mindfulness leading to heedfulness to cultivate right thought. And what are right thought? Thought that will not arise the evil root. Means thoughts that don't have the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Means they are right thought, wholesome thought, pure thought. Like generosity, contentment, joy, happiness, then respect for others. Because when you respect people, have gratitude towards people, your mind is very peaceful. You have joy, like they say, kan en. Then when you have love, when you have compassion, your mind state are very beautiful. These are all right thought. When your mind is in a state of equanimity, doesn't react, doesn't stir. Then when you have this mudita in you, the mind that know how to rejoice in the goodness, generosity, kindness and wholesomeness of what people has done, and full of gratitude, appreciativeness towards what the world has given you, your parent has given you or sacrificed towards you. All these are right thought. They are very peaceful. But when you go and think of the wrong thought, which are your fear, your worry, your anxiety, it will lead to sorrow, lamentation, and misery, affliction. That's why wrong thoughts are thought that comes through thought projection. They are not real. Nothing has happened yet. But you project your thought and create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, leading to the sorrow, the lamentation. Then after that, they go into depression. Then they become so miserable, like what the book mentioned, the talk. They have suicidal tendency. They say, might as well die. Nobody understands me. The whole world is against me. Who is saying all this? Your thought. And without the Dhamma, without wisdom, without understanding this teaching, you cannot deal with thought. That's why you become miserable. You become afflicted. You will grasp, cling, and hold on to all this wrong thought. And the Buddha in his teaching, under Sabbasavak Sutta, there's a book on it, the orange book. He said, thoughts that are unfit for attention, you shouldn't pay attention to. What are the thoughts that are unfit for attention? They are the wrong thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. He said, when you think that thought, which are unfit for attention, two things will happen, is it? The unarisen mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, they will arise. The arisen one will intensify. So you go and read that one, you will know. So this is to teach you to understand who are you, and what are these thoughts all about. And the Buddha's teaching has all this. But it's not taught in the Buddhist fraternity. They only have the words. But they don't know how to go into the real thing to explain to you how it involves real life situation and how people get entangled. Yeah. So these two, when you understand Jimmy, yeah, you will know how all those images come. But later on, when you are mindful and heedful and sensitive, you won't hold on to all these thoughts, all these images, because they just come and go. What is thought? Huh? Mental images, understand? And it's just the awareness and it's content. That's why it's just a consciousness and it's content. Arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. And thought is impermanent. Yeah, it come and go. So the question is, who give thought the power to make you miserable and unhappy? It's through your own self-delusion. When you have self-delusion, thinking that they are real, thinking that you exist, that's why you have the self-delusion. The egoic mind arises, the personality arises. Then when you think you exist, you will have the greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed is your greediness. Wanting to own things, wanting to have things. So when you have greed, you become selfish. You become possessive. You want to control things. You want to have things. Then when things don't go your way, you become angry, emotional. That way you don't understand what is going on. You develop fear. And these are delusions. That's why greed, hatred, and delusion will arise when there is self-delusion. So the Buddha said, if you don't understand all this, because there is self-delusion, wrong thought will arise. Self-delusion will lead to wrong thought. Self-delusion means the egoic mind come to be. So this one, they are all interrelated. Without self-delusion, you will not cling, you will not accumulate. So this one is due to self-delusion. Accumulation is due to self-delusion. Because you give meaning, you give importance to all these things, and you cannot see them. Okay, can follow? So with this, I hope you can develop clearer understanding. Then read that book, just now, that yellow, light brown book. Then combine them, I think you can understand better. Okay, we have to stop. 10:30, just now the alarm came through. So today, I think it's our last Thursday. So after that, we will have our retreat. So 2 weeks, 2 Thursday break. Yeah. Let's see how again, not around. Maybe Pang, Pang around. I don't know. We will see how. If you're around easier, but they won't get lost. Otherwise, Pak Masturi there, every time people get lost and they can't find the place. Only some who are familiar with her place, they can find it. But your place, sure, they won't miss her. They only have to enter through another gate. Okay. Anyway, I leave it to Sui An. Sui An will make the necessary announcement. We will be off for the Cameron Highland retreat from the 16th until the 24th. So 2 Thursday, we will cancel the class. Then after that, the following week, we will have our class. So Saturday is 24th, Sunday is 25th. So 26, 27, 28, 29, 29 of March, the class will be on. But we'll let you know where the venue is. Okay. Yeah, weekend also can. Yeah, you can let us know, then you make your own arrangement for transport. But you go up, I think there are still some places. a lot of them dry themselves, so now the bus still got about 8 or 9 seats. Because about 30 plus, they are coming up on their own transport, I think. Quite a lot from Alostar and Penang. Then our PA side, the bus is about 30. Then driving up also about same number or slightly more. 60. So if you can make arrangement, you let Suyan know. Then he will make sure you get your room. Yeah, your accommodation. If you got Uber want to fetch you, it's the best. Oh, Uber so expensive. Oh, like that bus cheaper. The bus cheaper. Bus is only 20 ringgit, 30. Or you carpool is the cheapest. You carpool, you can have your food at various places. You can stop by all the old town to have your nice food. Okay. So let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours or so. Then we will dedicate and share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Yeah.